God won't use you if you do this, or God won't use you if you do that. But that's not true. God used very flawed people in the Bible, people that made mistakes. And so hopefully that gives us hope as married couples that even if I make a mistake, even if we don't do it right, even if we just totally blow it in an area, that God, we can be redeemed. It's redeemable. And that's, you know, that's why you made all of those marriage vows. You remember? I mean, a sane person, when you made your marriage vow, a sane person would have got nervous. I mean, think about what you said. I'm going to serve this person for better or for worse. Nobody ever thinks about how worse is worse. How worse does worse get? You know? I mean, there's a whole lot of degrees of worse things that can happen. In sickness or in health, sickness can take a toll on people. Matter of fact, it seems like I've just recently ran into a lot of people who they were sick or had leukemia or had, it's like two or three in the last week. Yeah. There's another lady I ran into the other day at school. Her daughter has some kind of cancer. And, you know, the husband left. A few weeks ago, my wife and I was dealing with a lady. He had leukemia, and then he left or something like that. But, you know, sicknesses can take a toll on people. Very famous preaching couple, Randy White and Paula White. Well, one of the things they said put stress on their relationship when they got divorced was he had a daughter that was sick. You know? The sickness and the health. For richer or for poorer. Oh, my God. She's spending all the money. He doesn't pay the bills till death do us part. Those are the vows you made. So, there's got to be some redeem. God has to be able to redeem mistakes. And I thank God, as a married man, 22 years, whoo, thank you, Lord, for the blood, redeeming a lot of the things that I did, a lot of mistakes I made. That's one reason why. Because we don't want you to make the same mistakes that we made. Oh, my gosh. When I think back on some of the things that God redeemed us from, redeemed me from in my marriage and in my home and even with my children. So I thank God for it, you know. That's what grace, that's what mercy, that's what the blood of Jesus is for. His mercy endures forever. Amen. But as we've been looking at this couple, they made a lot of mistakes. They made a lot of mistakes, and much of it was born out of selfishness. Born out of selfishness. And so we see that Abraham told his wife to lie. And that was one of the things that he did. Told his wife to lie. And so that he could save his life. And so forth. Now, and that was selfish. Now, let's look over at the 16th chapter of Genesis. Here's another mistake that was made. It looks like selflessness at first, but it ends up being selfishness on several parts. Number one, Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah, Now, you know, Abraham does not put up a fight. I wonder why. Hey, have sex with this other lady, my handmaid. In all the movies that we have Abraham, even the last one, the last Bible movie that they did, I've been watching a little bit of that. Hagar is always a fox. She always looks good. It's never like some ugly duckling, you know. That's Hagar. That's Sarah, you know, whatever. So I don't know if there's any truth to that. But Abraham does not protest. Now, we know that Abraham can protest. When the king of Sodom went to give him riches and stuff like that, he turned it down. He said, no, I'm not taking no money from you. Why? Because I don't want anybody to say that the king of Sodom, the king of the homosexuals, made me rich. This is what he said. He would not take money from him. So, you know, Abraham knows how to speak up. He's not the most timid man in the world. Like you know, Moses, the Bible says, he was the most meek man on earth at the time. He would not speak up many times. But Abraham was not that kind of guy. And he was out to, you know, protected himself, as we saw earlier. As we saw, he was out to looking out for himself. And so, here's Sarah, which this looks like a selfish act. I mean, it may have been at first. She's being selfless, you know. I'll give you my handmaid, you know. I can't have children for you, but I'll let you go into her and so you can have a child. Abraham was very concerned about not having an heir. He had a lot of money. He was rich. So he was very concerned about not having somebody to leave his money to, his land to, his inheritance and all of that. He's very concerned about that. So once again, looking out for number one. Not even looking down the line to say, you know, how's this going to affect my wife? How's this going to affect my household? Which, you know, down the line, it turned out really bad. It turned out really bad. And this woman, Hagar, obviously, she didn't have any character. Because what happens is, sometimes I read between the lines of the scripture, you know. Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go to my maid, that it may be that I obtain a children by her. Abraham said, okay. That's what I read it to. You want me to go have sex with her? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, fine. No problem. Right? Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah's wife took Hagar, her handmaid, the Egyptian, okay? So she wasn't of the family. She wasn't in the tribe, so to speak. She was an Egyptian. Just reading into the scripture a little bit, you know, Egyptian women always like that exotic woman, you know, and that's how they always depict Hagar. You know, she was a fox. She was slamming, man. She was an Egyptian. Now, here's the thing about it. Sarah was a beauty queen herself. Okay, so she wasn't really intimidated because she looked good, you know. And so we can make some inferences. Good-looking people like good-looking people around them. So her handmaid, you know, was probably good-looking, you know, put it like that. So Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. So now you got two wives. Of course, back in those days, if you had sex with a woman, she was your wife. And he went into Hagar. That means they had sex. They made, you know, whatever. And she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. All right. Now, what happens is, define this for you. What happens is, Hagar gets the baby, or conceives a baby by Abraham. We don't know how long this takes. Okay? But she conceives a baby, a child, and then she gets this different attitude. Okay? Sarah was her authority. Sarah was her supervisor. Was over her, so to speak, you know. She worked for Sarah. But all of a sudden, because she has a baby, and Sarah can't have children, she has a baby for Abraham. Sarah can't have a child. So now she gets puffed up. She's got a, you know, she becomes Miss Thing kind of situation. And she begins to despise Sarah. This woman has no honor. Here's the woman that allowed you to, you know, to be her surrogate mom. She chose you to have her child. And all of a sudden, she turns on Sarah, okay? This is a little side piece, you know, and it's crazy that you'd even have to approach this subject. Hopefully nobody on this call is even dealing with this, but we have several people that are listening online, people that are listening to the rebroadcast on our website after and all of that stuff. So I just want to put this out there, you know. It is a trend, it is a fad at this time in our society and in marriages where people are experimenting with all types of sexual deviance. And one area is this whole idea of a threesome. And typically, I've never heard of this, and it's probably coming. I'm quick not to say what won't happen. Because the moment I say, well, I've seen it all, I haven't seen it all. You know, like the Christian strippers and stuff like that. Or the Christian pole dance classes in the church. This is amazing. Okay. So I haven't seen this yet where it's too, you know, the guy wants a threesome and he wants another guy to come in the bedroom with him and his wife. I'm sure that's happened, and that's not far behind, you know, as far as the culture is concerned. But more often than not, it is the man that wants the woman to bring another woman into the bedroom. All right. We've heard some horror stories with this. Horror stories. Number one, this is, once again, keeping with the selfish agenda, you know, I mean, man, first of all, to me, for a man to say that to his wife, how demeaning is that? You're not enough. I need another woman beside you. You're talking about selfish. Usually a fantasy that has been planted by pornography, and then now with primetime TV having gone the way of whoredoms, you know, you can see that kind of stuff on regular TV or hear the innuendos all the time. Okay? Menage a trois and all this stuff. We was watching something. It was just on TV. They was talking about menage a trois. Like, man, society has just gone bad. So anyway, you know, but we've heard some horror stories, which is, look, man, woman, listen, don't bring no other woman into your bedroom, because she may end up stealing your husband, which is the reason why you don't want your husband to cheat. I mean, it's a whole thing. It's just, you know, they still adultery. He's with another woman, even if you're in the bed with him. It's not right. It's a breaking of the marriage covenant. And this is, it's almost laughable as I say this, that you have to say this, because most pastors aren't saying anything, so our people don't know anything. It's all about how to be happy and how to keep a smile on your face all day, and you know, even if your cheeks start hurting, just keep smiling and all this stuff. Man, we got to deal with real issues, because our people are dealing with real issues. People are dealing with real issues in their marriage. And this is something that comes up. You know, many times when we counseling people, this is something that is, you know, comes up, you know. When he wants me to, you know, don't do it. So once again, we talked about perfect submission last week. Submission is absolute, but obedience is not. Baby, I love you, but I wish I would bring another woman into my marriage bed. So if that's, you know, if that's a deal breaker for you, because I'm not doing that, then you can go and do what you got to do. And I love you in the Lord. Now, I ain't going to leave you, but, you know, we're not doing that. And just let the brother know, okay? So, you know, if he had to keep having these fantasies in his head or whatever, which he shouldn't, then that's the only place he's going to have it. Because you're not doing it. And you need to stand firm on that, women. You know, all this stuff, this weird stuff these guys want women to do and stuff like this, you know, because they've been sitting up watching XX movies, or even before they got married, was hooked on all this old perverse stuff and then trying to get their woman to do that stuff. No, we're not doing that. Don't do it. And that has nothing to do with submission. That has something to do with, I'd rather obey God than man. You know? So, I mean, this shows you right here. This happened early. See, all this stuff we think we all knew it, and this is all, this is new, and this is just, oh, man, this is novelty, this is hip. You know, the Bible don't talk about this. Yes, it does. Right here in the Bible, it happened. It was a threesome in Genesis. Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah. All right? And it caused a major problem. So now all of a sudden, you know, Hagar starts teasing, you know, Sarah, you know, rubbing her belly at Sarah. I bet you can't make a baby, stuff like that, you know. I mean, it's crazy. And so verse 5, Sarah says unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she could see, I was despising her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said, Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do with her what thou pleases. Boy, typical man. Typical man. Look, baby, I read that had sex with her, it's your idea. Hey, she your problem. She your mate. No, bro. She your wife now because you done had sex with her. Stand up like a man and take some responsibility. He won't even deal with it. Selfishness, number. Abram. Selfish again. Avoiding, abdicating responsibility. Men, when it's your responsibility to do it, don't tell your wife it's her responsibility. That's selfishness. You don't want to. You just don't want to deal with it. Well, you deal with it. Go ahead, you deal with it. Something crazy happened in your home with your child, something. Your daughter get pregnant. Something like this. Now, man, no, baby, I ain't got nothing to do with that. No, you deal with that. You deal with that. You deal with it. What? No, brother, you're the man. You're the man. Sarah came to him, said, look, I made a mistake. We got to do something about it. Abram said, hey, that's between you and Hagar. No, I asked for the people to go in the first place. That was your idea. Do to her as you please. See, I read between the lines when I read the Bible. See, the Bible comes alive to me. It's more entertaining than the Housewives of Atlanta or New Jersey because it's just way more drama in this stuff, you know. But you got to read it right, okay? So then, with Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Basically, I don't know if Sarah hit her or did, I don't know what she did, but the Bible say she dealt hardly with her. So I don't know. Might have been a little violence and a little pushing and shoving, a little throwing the dishes. And, you know, ain't no telling. A little knife to the throat. Look here. You keep messing with her, keep messing with me, I'm telling you, you know, dealt hardly with her. It's funny. In the news this week, I think they had some video about Beyonce beating the mess out of Jay-Z on the elevator. It was caught on tape. And come to find out what everybody's saying it was or whatever, it had something to do with something like this. It's like, you know, some girl kept flirting with Jay-Z in front of Beyonce. The sister got madder than Beyonce, which was weird. You know, like Beyonce, I'll be speaking up. Sister supposedly got mad at then Beyonce and went off on Jay-Z. Jay-Z said something. She didn't like it. She just started, she dealt hardly with Jay-Z in that elevator. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, she dealt hardly with this woman, and she fled, okay? But even in this, because Hagar was carrying the seed of Abraham, an angel went to Hagar and so forth. So what's the point today? Selfishness, the selfish agenda. Here we go. We touched on it a little bit a couple of weeks ago, some sex stuff, but this is directly sexual. Again, because now there's a third person that's been brought into the marriage. And a lot of people play these games in marriage now. Even a lot of celebrities that are doing it in the open. Now, supposedly Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, they swing. They bring other people into their relationships and stuff like this. And a lot of people believe in that now, open marriage. So to guarantee there'll be no adultery, we just make adultery legal. You know, you have those movies like Hall Pass and stuff like that. You know, we just make adultery legal. Have an open marriage. You know, you can be who you want to be with. I can be who I want to be with. And you know, don't nobody say nothing. Okay? This is a big mistake. A big mistake. And there are even secular articles about women who's had threesomes, you know, and they regretted it, man. You know, it was just humiliating to a lot of those women. You know, they thought they were doing something great for their husband on their birthday or on Father's Day or something, or their anniversary or something. You know, husband kept on putting pressure on that woman, you know. I want to have a threesome. And they brought this woman in, and I don't know why I'm talking about this so heavy, but I know somebody on here, either on here or going to listen later, don't really need this. Because they're thinking about it. And it's great. And see, here's the thing. If preachers do not preach the truth, I mean, get down, I mean, you know, bump all of the political correctness and try not to offend people, all that stuff, and just deal with where the culture is. If we don't do that, people do not know the truth about certain things. You see? And so it has to be preached. That's why the Bible says that to Timothy, he said, we ought to tell people and amplify in which ways they're living wrong so they'll know how to live right. And I heard another preacher say, he was talking the same thing. Me and my wife were listening to him yesterday, and he said the same things I'm saying. And he was saying, and I find this to be true, that when I preach this way, I don't run into
hardness of heart. I don't run into people whose heart is hard and say, nah, man, I don't care what the preacher say, I'm having a threesome. I run into people who say, man, thank you for saving me from doing something stupid. The whole message on homosexuality stuff, people say it's too hard. When I preach that stuff, man, we had a person come up to the altar last week. We was in North Carolina, we was in Charlotte, just crying out. Finally, somebody that they can talk to, somebody is going to help them in this area. So we got to tell the truth. But listen, these women said that they regret it and had some woman come in as a threesome or something like that and said, man, the husband just basically humiliated them, forgot about them in the bed, you know, was paying more attention to this girl, this strange girl that they brought in than them, and asking them to do all kind of lewd acts with the girl. And I'm like, dumb, what did you think he was going to do? I'm sorry, I'm harsh. My wife wouldn't have said dumb. My wife would have said, well, baby, did you consider that before? You know, she'd have said something nice. But I'd be like, dumb, what did you think they were going to do? I mean, you know, what do you think a man wants a threesome for? So he can spend more quality time with you? No. So he can legally fulfill his fantasy with another woman. So, look, people, we can't do that kind of stuff, you know. And once again, you watching XX movies and all that stuff, man, just stop that stuff. You can't. It's going to tear your marriage up. It's going to mess you up. It's going to mess you up. It's going to mess her up. It's going to mess everything up. So you can't watch that kind of stuff. Well, we're adults. It's an adult movie. Well, you can't watch the adult movies. It's lewd. It's promoting all kind of wrong stuff and wrong fantasies, and it's getting your juices rolling in the wrong way. You know, we're going to spice up the marriage bed. Okay, spice it up, you know. So a lot of things you can do to spice it up. Sitting up watching some old craziness, you know. Play some romantic music. Play some jazz. Buy a negligee. Get some toppings or something. I know my wife is going to kill me, you know. Not that we do any of this stuff, you know. No. It's not an implication of me and my wife. But just, you don't have to do that. It's a whole bunch of stuff you can do. And if you're a man and you just need some ideas, then we need to talk privately, because I can give you 1,001 ideas other than sitting out watching a flick with your wife, or most of the time making your wife watch a flick with you, because that's, once again, that's a selfish move that men make to fulfill all the sexual stuff, you know, because most women feel degraded sitting out watching another woman and then you getting your kicks off by watching another woman. They don't like that, okay? So I guess I'll end it right here. Don't expect a lot of comments on this one, because I know I'm in the house and I know I'm talking good and I know that this is very relevant to what's going on in the land. And if you're not having experienced any of this, then I guarantee you, you work close to, or, you know, one of your family members or something like this, you know somebody that's dealing with this. Matter of fact, when I talk to college guys, they say that that this is an epidemic on the college campuses now. This is something that guys are demanding of girls, and girls are submitting to it so they can be with a guy. And then, you know, it's turning them out into lesbianism and stuff. And it's just like, you know, one guy said, Pastor Randy, you don't even understand how prominent this is on our campuses. This is like a threesome is like nothing. It's like going to get a Coke out the Coke machine, you know. And so we got a whole new generation that's being acculturized to this, and it's not good. it's not good, man. And ultimately, I think the person that hurts the most is that girl. You know, it's the girl, it's the women. You know, once again, I have it. The woman said, "Hey, I want a threesome with two dudes." You know, can you imagine, guys? That would be humiliating. She want another dude in the bed. Well, you're not enough, is what she's saying. And what kind of dude would do that? So, you know, it's the same. You put yourself in that same position. You know, I think if Abraham had considered, well, what if would I allow my wife to have sex with another man? How would that make me feel ultimately? Well, then I shouldn't do this, even if it was her idea. And that's a crazy thing, too, in our culture. Now we got women, because this has become such a standard across the board, and we talked about Wednesday in our Bible study. It's powerful, you know, just the steps that things take to become a part of the culture. You know, a response to spiritual influence creates an atmosphere. Atmospheres sustain over a long time, becomes a climate. Climate sustains over a long time, becomes a stronghold. Stronghold sustained over a long period of time becomes the culture. And the culture is the way we do it. So now the threesome thing has become such a part of the culture. And, you know, most women say, "Oh, yeah, that's what my husband wants." And then now some of the, even, it's not even the men's idea. Some of these old goofy women are going, "Hey, babe, I got an idea for your 40th birthday. How about the threesome?" You know, it's like, woman, are you serious? But in either case, you know, that man should consider what he want his wife to be with another man. And if he don't care, he got other issues bigger than the threesome, okay? But, yeah, I don't know how I got off on this, but God said do it, so we doing it. He told me to stop right here and to press on this. So, you know, that, all that perversion and stuff, man, and pornography and stuff is another way of bringing other people into your bedroom, too, into your marriage bed, which is not right, you know. The visuals and the voices of others, you know, while you're being intimate with your wife, that is not godly. You just got to know that. Doesn't come from heaven, doesn't come from God. So where did it come from? You know, we try to, well, it's a gray area. No, it's not. Where does that come from? You know, so in any case, I'm going to stop right there. If there are any comments, you may make them now. If not, I'm going to let my wife pray us out. If she's on the line, unless she had a cake delivery or something. I didn't think there'd be too many comments. Jenna, if you're on the line, pray us out.
Okay, we thank God for the message, the lesson on this morning. It was awesome. I thank God for pastors' willingness to be bold and to speak the truth, no matter the subject matter. And in this day and time, that's what we need. We need the truth. We need to know how to draw the line between what's right and what's wrong, because the culture that we live in has deemed wrong right and right wrong. And so if the people of the church don't preach the truth and correct that, how will they know? How will we know? So we thank God for the lesson this morning. Father, thank you for coming together. We thank you, God, for, Lord, your word, God. We thank you, Father, that your word is the truth, Father. We thank you, Lord, because there's so many that are searching for truth, God. There are so many that are searching in so many other areas, for what the truth is. But, Lord, you've led us to the real truth, Father, and we just thank you for that. We thank you, God, that we don't have to be bound by the traditions of men. We don't have to be bound by the ideologies of the world. But, God, that we can operate and learn the truth about who you are, about what you want for our lives, do you want to do in our lives, God. And it's not hard. It's easy, God. Once we accept, the hardest part is accepting what the truth is. And once we accept what the truth is and we make a decision to turn our play down to the world, to draw a line in the sand and declare and decree to stand on the Lord's side, that it becomes easy. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that you're doing through the marriages, in the marriages, on those on the line, Father. We thank you, Father, for continuing to make those couples one. We thank you for the blessing that is on their lives, that is on their families, that's on their children, God. We thank you, Father, that you're drawing us closer to our destiny and what your will is for our lives on this earth. We love you, God. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And it's quiet yet. It's all right. That's all right. I do old people say, that's all right, baby. That's all right, baby. That's all right. I know we was in the house today. Most of us are not that extreme, but many of us have been marred by this culture, and it's taken a toll on us in certain areas. And I'll be the first. I had to be delivered because I grew up in the 80s and 90s. So hey, all that stuff was out there by that time. And so, not to go any further, but I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And so,
Pastor,
yes, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Most of us, we've been so conditioned in this area. The first place that we tend to go to, we've been conditioned. Even if you grew up in a Christian home, we've been conditioned to seek the word. And do what the world is doing in this area because it's sex, and it's the church's fault. The church has had imbalance in teaching about sex and what God thinks about sex. And the crazy thing is, when you really think about it, why should you be so embarrassed about it? Or why should you be drawn to the world about it even in the first place if you're a Christian? When God, the person that you say is your father, created it in the first place.
Exactly. Well, you preaching to the choir now, baby. I mean, that's how I feel about it. And I think see, with the culture, with all these movies and all these channels and pay per views and all the stuff, and we know, if you go on your cable channel right now and go to that pay-per-view adult section, all the more crazy titles that come up, and it just caters to the flesh, and basically it's a gateway to hell through a lot of that stuff. And we got to talk about it, we got to preach about it, we got to speak on it. And, it's important, guys. And so we're not trying to embarrass nobody on the line or any of that. But we got to talk about this because this is the time in which we live. We know it's the time in which we live because we counsel couples. And these things come up many times. And it's always some extremity, and sometimes it's a too prude. Some people come from Christian backgrounds or whatever, and no, I don't do this, I won't do that, I won't do this, I won't do that, and then that's a problem, because the Bible don't say don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. There's a lot of, this is what I'm saying. There's a lot of leeway within your marriage sexually. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff you can do. And it's just like Adam and Eve, you know, every tree of the garden God gave them. How many different types of trees are there? Let's look that up. Let somebody look that up on Wikipedia or something. How many types of trees are there? Probably hundreds of different types. But the one type, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we couldn't eat of it. And that's the thing that they got in trouble for, the thing that they couldn't do. And so I think a lot of times we concentrate on what we can do, and that becomes so titillating to us because it's forbidden, you know, forbidden fruit and all that. So forbidden fruit tastes sweeter, Proverbs says that. But then, man, what about the allowed fruit? It's a whole bunch of stuff that people are, you know, they prude about or whatever. They don't want to talk about it. But, you know, is that what that is in the Bible? Well, I just don't think that's right. Well, okay, that's your opinion, but that ain't in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, and you got the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says that you know, that the couple should satisfy one another. I mean, that satisfy, you know, man, there's a whole bunch in that. It's, you know, there's a whole lot of leeway. But we get stuck on, and that's what the devil wants us. He wants us to play around with the stuff that God says, no, you cannot do, which is bringing another person in, looking at other people, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's perversion. But I just pray that this helps somebody, the recording helps somebody. Send it out. Be bold. Send it out. Send it out. God bless you guys. Please get on the text and do that, what we were telling you earlier today. And hope to see you back here next week. God bless you.